So my mom died 2 years and 3 months ago, and she left me many things, by which I mean mainly memories, but also I'm living in her house, and of the things she left me, I think the ones I treasure the most, apart from the memories, are, you know, she made a bunch of sweaters that I've become known for wearing. Like, this is one of them. She would take a sweater, and then she would needlepoint a design. Oh, you can see there's the back. Needlepoint a design on it. And she also did other needlepoint work. And I'm writing a book right now about stopping rape culture. And when I finish that book, then I'm going to write a book about my mother's, my mother's process of dying and her life. And, I'll read you the first page. The epigraph, if I were to start it right now, would be "Regrets or Illuminations Come Too Late." And it would be by Joseph Campbell. And the book itself would start, "In the hours after my mother lost consciousness for the final time, as part of her glide toward death from cancer, I thought of a dozen questions I wished I'd asked her, a dozen things I wished I'd said. I did ask them, and I did say them, to her drugged and deeply breathing self, but it's not the same. I knew even in that moment I should have lived those questions and statements in the days, years, and decades before her death, when they could have become part of our conversations and our lives. But I didn't. And I learned that night, as I've learned so many times in so many circumstances in my life, that regret is the harshest, most effective, and cruelest teacher there is." And another thing I want to bring in about death is, you know, I've heard it said that among some cultures, somebody is not dead until the last person who remembers them is dead. And you know, I've thought about that a lot, and, you know, I love these sweaters that my mom left me. I love the dogs that I took over, and, but the things that strike me the most, and I, you know, when she was dying, I was thinking about this for myself too, that some of the things that die are the idiosyncratic things that nobody else even knows. In my own case, and I don't know these for my mom, but in my own case, the way I put clothes in the closet, or the idiosyncratic way I put clothes in the closet, I should say, or the idiosyncratic way that I take vitamins, or, you know, all these little intimacies that we usually share only with ourselves. And, you know, when I die, my books will remain as long as people still read, and as long as, you know, that system of production and distribution of books exists, which who knows how long that'll be. But the things that will die immediately will be those little idiosyncratic things that what I'm trying to get at is that. So the other day, I had an itch in the middle of my back, and I leaned against a corner in the house and was scratching it like a bear. And whenever I used to do that when my mom was alive, she would say that reminded me of her father, because her father used to do that all the time. And then I started thinking about my grandfather died when I was maybe four-ish. He died of cancer. And there are stories I've heard of how they brought him up from the morphine enough that he could say goodbye to me. And I have no recollection of that because I was four. And So the other day, I was scratching my back against a wall, and then I thought about the story of my grandfather dying, and I thought I should ask my mom. And she's, of course, not there to ask anymore. And so is that one little piece of my grandfather that is now no longer there, since I no longer have a memory of whether he actually did or did not come out of his morphine-induced haze to say goodbye. Another thing I'm going to deal with in the book, I'm going to not deal with because it's so huge, is a few years ago, I remember reading that they found the bones of King Richard II, whichever Richard it was, in a parking lot in the UK underneath it. And there's the classic Ozymandias thing that if you, it doesn't matter if you were a king or a peasant, 500 years later, it's all bones anyway in a Tesco parking lot or something. And so I wonder, as I always do, you know, what's the point? What do we do? I mean, is the argument to simply have as many orgasms as you can during this short life? Because once you're dead, you're not going to have any more, presumably. Or is it, I mean, I don't know if it's to be king and then get stabbed in the buttocks as he was. The only solution I've been able to come up with for what I think we should do is to make sure we leave the better world a better place, world by which I mean the real physical world, a better place because we were born. I guess another thing that we should do, and this, I don't know how this helps the real world or the, well, I do. I was going to say, I don't know how my mom doing these sweaters made the world a better place, but I think one of the things we can do, whether it's remembered or not, is to bring additional beauty into the world before we die. And with that, my mom succeeded.